Compton, head of the Chicago Black Panthers in 1969 when he was gunned down by Chicago police. I want to thank Bobby Seale being with us, founding chairman, Black Panther Party, Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn. We also want you to stay with us. I want to ask Bill Ayers about McCain's comments linking Barack Obama to Bill Ayers. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KABU is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KABU will be hosting Coal Miner's Daughter on Wednesday, September 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. This film from 1980 chronicles the life of country singer Loretta Lynn. Sissy Spacek brings sincerity and depth to her portrait of Loretta and does her own singing in the movie, as does Beverly D'Angelo in the role of Patsy Cline. Tommy Lee Jones also delivers one of his best performances. Again, that's Coal Miner's Daughter on Wednesday, September 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, I was born to coal miner's daughter.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 13th annual Dancing in the Square American Indian Day Celebration Powwow on Friday, September 7th from noon to 7 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. American Indian Day is a traditional showcase in celebration of American Indian and Alaskan Native cultures and community, which raises awareness concerning the challenges that Native American people face in this country. This event features vendors, educational booths, food, entertainment, and more. Again, that's Dancing in the Square American Indian Day Celebration Powwow on Friday, September 7th from noon to 7 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square, 700 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, journalist and author Chris Hedges talks about stopping fascism. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, and at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio is visited by singer Gabby Marino with an in-studio performance. And at 11:30, Art Focus interviews artists, curators, and critics. But now it's time for the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
It's real, but it ain't exactly here. You know, I really, really am concerned. Maybe that's been conveyed in the past, but this is really real. My name is Joe Uris. This is KBOO, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor and me, Joe Uris. It's talk radio, and we do want to hear from you, but I got a few things to say myself. 231-8187. I want to begin by discussing fascism. Last week, we had a caller who occasionally calls us, and he was outraged at the behavior of students at a couple of universities who blocked speakers of the right. And he equated that with fascism. Well, it's certainly not free speech. And it's certainly not maybe the thing we would like to see. But it's not fascism. Now, this is really an important distinction. Fascism is a systemic power structure that is a combination, a very conscious combination, of the ruling class capitalist system, that is capital, with a party and a mass movement all of which are supporting, this is really important, really important, all of which are supporting a totalitarian regime. And in most cases, including Germany in an attack on Jewish people, and in this country, I'm afraid, in an attack on persons of color, we have never, ever, ever ended the Civil War from my point of view. Well, this attack, this resentment of the changing demographics in the United States and the resentment of the changing situation in Europe has produced fascism in Hungary and fascism to some degree in Poland and fascism throughout Europe. It's very scary and it's very real. Now we're seeing the same thing here. That's what the Republican Party has become. I don't know that every member of the party consciously is a fascist. I wouldn't say that. But I would say that the party is exploiting racial resentment under the leadership of Donald the Creep Trump totally in the interest of power and the interest of maintaining power. We saw yesterday the ill behavior of Trump when he when he could not acknowledge basically a right-wing hero more than anything else, John McCain's memorials, his death. He took the flags down at half-mast and he put them up within a day, and then the American Legion got upset because, after all, McCain is a hero from the point of view of soldiers and is yet indeed a very brave man who suffered at the hands of the North Vietnamese during the horrible and stupid Vietnam War. Well, what we're seeing with Trump is a combination of weird things. The first and most prominent thing is that he is a stupid, self-centered, self-aggrandizing, arrogant, and totally politically inept person. That's really all important. Now, does that mean he could win an election? Well, they could fix an election. They can mess an election up with Russian help and so on. He actually lost the popular vote, as you all know. But what has happened to the Republican Party is frightening. It's disgusting. We used to, in the old days, talk about the Republicans as a kind of reactionary political party, and that was true. But I don't think I ever really believed that that party would be a betrayer of the American Constitution and the American way of life in the way in which the Republican Party, by and large, today is. Today in the New York Times, if you go online or in hard copy and look at Paul Krugman's piece, he talks very bluntly about the rise of fascism in the Western world and particularly in the United States. This is not some paranoid fantasy. This is an observation of the political situation we face. The next election, that is the one taking place, 90 days from now, less, that election will be a genuine test of whether or not the United States can sustain democracy in the face of enormous stresses, largely racial animosity based. This is really important. And if you have friends or acquaintances or relatives or strangers you know in some other state or in this state, you must call them, email them, talk to them, tell them, don't tell them what to vote, tell them to vote. This is not an election for young people to sit out. This is not an election to talk about, well, can we move to the left? Nah, this is an election that is essentially trying to hold on to the principles, which are the principles of democracy. If the Republicans win, we will have a Supreme Court for the rest of our lives with people running it who are essentially not interested in justice, not interested in the American way of life, and not interested in fairness. This is real. This is not something, this is not hyperbole, this is not something I'm making up, I'm exaggerating, I'm not. This is really true, and it really disturbs me. So, again, what is fascism? A state system which combines the power of capitalism with a populist sentiment in the case of the United States, and in the case, to some degree, of Nazi Germany, calling upon people's resentments, their racial resentments and fears of the other. And it works, and it's awful, and it's very, very much prevalent in the United States right now. Now, we all have probably some degree of belief that the United States is a capitalist system that is dominated by by the rich and powerful, with most of us not getting much of a power base. But It is nothing like what will happen in the next few years if the Supreme Court turns hard right forever and the Trumpists triumph. This guy is really horrible. What I like about him most, I have to admit, is that he can't stand rivalry. He couldn't bring himself, Trump could not actually bring himself to celebrate the life of McCain. McCain is the archetypal conservative hero. He suffered at the hands of the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, in this stupid Vietnam War, and he tolerated enormous torture and pain and agony, and he did not take a release from them using the privilege of his father being an admiral, and insisted that he stay unless all of the prisoners could be released. A real hero in that sense, real hero. And he foolishly ran for president with, never mind. But McCain saw the need for democracy. He believed in the system. Whatever else you think about him, he was a true American hero. And I honor that, and I think all of us should. I think that the fact that Trump cannot bring himself to honor the guy. Did you see Trump's press conferences and meetings with the press yesterday where the press was yelling at him? Well, what about McCain? Have you no statement on McCain? Blah, 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 blah. Finally, his PR people prevailed upon him and they said, well, you got to say something. And he said vague nicenesses about McCain as a hero and so on. But it was obvious that for Trump, this man was the enemy. And this is, from my point of view, great. You must vote. You must get everyone you're even an acquaintance with or strangers out to vote. Don't tell them how to vote, because they'll know. Just get them to the polls. Get them to the polls throughout the United States. Oh, by the way, Congress, in response to the Russian invasion of our voting process and the bad things that happened in 16, came to the closest point it ever came with a bipartisan plan to have paper ballots, to have written consequences that could be reevaluated, not machines, not things that could be interfered with by foreign powers or anybody else. That bill was going to pass, but suddenly it was pulled by the Republicans. That's what, just in this recent times, pulled by the Republicans, and we still don't have the simplest, most effective way of counting ballots, let alone the way in which we could get people to the polls with enough polling places. We don't have any of that. But most importantly, we do no longer have any hard copy evidence of the vote. And I don't know exactly how that polling went down, but it went down. Now, that's number one. You got to vote. That's number one. Number two, and most important in a way, 500 children approximately are still being kept here while their family members, the adults in their families, have been deported. These are people who the government blithely says, well, you know, they can't be reunited with their parents because blah, blah, blah. Look, this is a national shame. It is a political crime. It is a mass crime done by the Trump administration, by ICE and so on. It is horrible. It is unbearably evil. And it is hurting little children, as little as, you know, toddlers and younger. This is, that we would allow this, that we are not outraged, that we are not in agony about it, is so terrible. Because the implications for other kinds of horrors are very clear. Those children are prisoners of the Trump administration's evil policies. And we, all of us, must struggle hard to reunite those kids with their parents. Look, the U.S. government took them away from their parents, persuaded the parents, with many of them with no English skills, to sign away the right to their children to agree to leave the country. Then, you know, and never gave them an asylum hearing, never gave them a hearing of any sort at all. So they get sent back to their home countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Mexico, wherever, and they're disconnected from their children. They're in agony themselves, but they have no way to reach out to find out where their kids are. Remember, the kids are distributed all over the United States, New York, as far as New York. And the government says, oh, gee, we made a mistake. That's too bad. No. Only body that is trying to reunite families, as far as I can tell, is the ACLU. And they're being put in the position of supposedly finding these families and putting them back together again. What should be happening and what morally must be happening now that this mistake has already been made is to create or use marshals and others who speak Spanish, who are going to go into the villages, post posters, pardon me, talk to families, find the parents of these children and reunite them with their children all over Latin America and bring them to the United States to have hearings on the question of whether or not they should get a chance at asylum. This is what is the only moral conclusion that I can come to, and I think that you can come to either. You also, in addition to voting, should be raising holy hell about this. This is about as close to genocide as you can get without crossing over. It's horrible. It's disgusting. And it's ongoing. I mean, we're talking about, what, something like 500 children? Well, the children. Children don't break laws. Children are children. It's a terrible thing. I got to catch my breath here. The behavior of Trump, I just want to go back to this quickly. The behavior of Trump in the matter of the death of John McCain, who I disagree with on every political question but acknowledge as a national hero, is disgusting, absolutely disgusting. And as Paul Krugman said in the New York Times today, here comes fascism. We've seen it in many countries in Europe already. And it's not hard-bound, solid fascism. It's only coming. Similarly, that's the case in the U.S. But it's real. If we get a Supreme Court that is locked into some kind of right-wing weirdness, that'll make it even more real, with less and less that we as citizens can do about it legitimately. Recently, I said, you know, I can see an alliance with the Black Bloc, even with the anti-fascist movement, because this is a necessity in this struggle. We can't make enemies. We can't make distinctions that are fine and sought ideally in this circumstance. We must find the alliances that express the ideas that we all believe in to some degree, and we must support those groups. I'll tell you a little quick story, because I'm kind of disappointed about this. From the time the new chief of police, the chief outlaw, was hired, we reached out through the station to get an interview with her. So far, that's not happened. There was one press availability, which was given to us or to everybody at the last minute, and I wasn't available. No one was available. We passed on that, but that wasn't really an interview setup. On the contrary, Lars Larson, who some of you may have heard of, who is a right-wing talk show host in Portland, a man who carries a gun all the time and is kind of proud of that, Lars Larson got a long interview with her. And during the process of that, she essentially blamed the anti-fascists for the rioting that took place downtown that has now sort of blackened the rep of Portland among the sort of do-gooder, liberal, but right-wing-ish kind of crowd in America. This is all real stuff. This is all real happening. It's happening here in Portland, Oregon. It's happening all over the nation. It's very frightening, and it's not something you can just walk away from. You can't say, I don't vote because it doesn't do any good, or I don't vote because the Republicans are, you know, going to win. I don't vote because the Democrats aren't much of a left-wing party. All of those things are pointlessly argued. The fact of the matter is there must be a huge turnout of everybody simply saying no to fascism. And when you say no to the Republicans in this circumstance, in this politics, you're saying no to fascism. I don't care if you say, it's not fair. Well, it is fair, unfortunately. Susan Collins, who I had great hope for in Maine, senator, is sort of kind of turning into one of those people, too. It's very disappointing. It's very threatening. It's very un-American. And it's happening right under your nose. You have to reach every person you know or don't know in every state of the union that you possibly can and say to them, don't tell them how to vote. Tell them to vote, because they will vote smart. All right, that's enough of that. Let's hear. Got anybody calling us? No. I guess my rant has driven everybody off the air. Well, yeah, 231-8187. And we do want to hear from you. If you particularly disagree with me, I would like to hear from you as well. If you think I'm being overly dramatic, I'd like to hear from you as well. If you think, hey, I'm just wrong, I'd like to hear from you as well. And if you agree, that's good too. This is not a funny thing. This is not an amusing show. This is a show reflecting what I perceive, what Paul Krugman, a Nobel Prize winner, sees as a impending threat to our economy and our democracy. This is something that cannot be ignored. When you take away parents from their children, when you lock the children up as if they were somehow criminals, when you separate them from their parents as a means of informal punishment, that's fascism. When you do it in the name of the state, that's fascism. When the state is led by a criminal, as in the case of Donald Trump, that's not only fascism, but that's a crime family. The Trump family is a crime family. They will be and are being under indictment. They will be, I predict, convicted. These are criminals. I don't worry so much, oh, the Russians interfered. Yeah, that's bad. But the point is that this is the opportunity that Trump wanted and sought and cultivated. This man should never have gotten close to the presidency. The fact that the Republican Party totally was so desperate to win that they folded in the face of Trump. Amazing. Do they have no better and no more intelligent people? It's just very, very scary. And in fact, it's going to play out very badly in all of our lives. Well, I've done my rant. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. This pauses while we're waiting for the phones to catch up. Who's it? What do we got? Cody, how are you?
How you doing this morning, Joe?
Pretty good. You feeling like I'm foolish?
Well, I don't know, man. Truth takes on so many forms, you know?
Well, yes.
And, huh?
I said yes. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, and you were talking about fascism, and I agree with some of what you said, but, I mean, fascism can come from so many directions, not just the one that we may be obviously looking at. You know, I mean, look, Trump's not a great guy. Let's be honest here, okay? He has his issues, all right?
Not a great guy, yeah. Man. He's a crook. Crook,
well,
C-R-O-O-K.
But we're dealing with a CIA, FBI, DOJ, and a whole bunch of other people who are out to get him. And these are the very people that Cabu stood against for a long time. And I think it's poetic to see Cabu take his sides with somebody like Brennan, for instance. You know?
Well, that is an irony. I agree.
Well, this isn't the 70s or the 80s anymore. We have the internet, and we can get a little bit deeper and check a lot of our sources, what's going on. And I think the average American has become a little bit more sophisticated when it comes up to what's really going on, and a lot of hard questions are going to be asked upon the American voter about what's more important to them. And I mean, like when you said like fascism, for instance, and you explained it pretty well, but not once are you talking about how a lot of people are getting like a deplatformed off a lot of these freedom of speech. You know, it's like a lot of people are getting deplatformed from the internet and a lot of other alt media, and no one's making a big deal out of it, and they don't see how that looks an awful lot like fascism also.
Well, this is a point I was trying to make. Fascism is an institutional form of repression. The individual repressions that take place, the anger of students at various universities not letting right-wingers speak, or the removal of lying SOBs from the radio and from the internet, this is not fascism. This is it's censorship. It might be wrong. In the case of most of these people on the air, it's not wrong. But whether or not it's wrong, it's not fascism. Fascism is an institutionalized form of repression, which includes an economic system.
These are awful large institutions we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about Google, you know, deplatforming people from all across, and they're using these very imperfect algorithms, and it's really crazy. A lot of people are getting confused, and it'd be nice for us to understand that a lot of this could have been avoided. had the Democratic Party did the right thing by Bernie Sanders.
Well, okay? that may be true, but that's over. That ship has left.
Over, but this talking about the nexus of that primordial ooze here.
And I like that term. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Well, look, man, it's like people haven't forgot how we ended up in this situation in the first place. And a lot of people who are so I want to say a little overexcited about Trump, mainly because they're so excited. I almost hear people saying, let's burn the Constitution down just to see Trump.
Well, I've never heard anyone saying that in the communities
well,
I run in.
Seems to be approaching that level. And I'm saying is, you're right, man. Fascism is so real, and I think our country's in a very precarious spot. But, you know, taking sides in the situation, we should take the side of truth and not for any particular party. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
bro.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm arguing where you and I may disagree is in this situation, at this point, there is only one alternative to the right wing. And unfortunately, it's the Democratic Party. And I'm not saying, hey, Democratic Party, great party or whatever. I'm saying we must stop fascism. The greater contradiction, follow me here, the greater contradiction is between democracy and fascism right now in American history, and we must go with democracy, even if it's terribly imperfect.
I mean, even if the American people are being duped by legacy media, and the legacy media that we could all agree, we've been complaining about those guys forever. And now that everything's going down with these people, we're taking sides with the legacy media, and I'm going, wait a minute, hold on. We're dealing with more ironies and paradoxes here.
Well, you're right. I let me agree with you. It is ironic and it is paradoxical. It is nevertheless real.
Well, I'm not. Look, it's real insofar as is that I sense a lot of deception going on, and a lot of people are going, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Let's take a second look at this thing here. The CIA, who's responsible for pumping all kind of drugs into black neighborhoods, don't like Trump. The FBI, who took a very important part in halting the civil rights movement in the 60s, is against Trump. You know, and I'm going, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, come with a little better argument when it comes up to protecting the United States Constitution
okay.
against anyone, regardless of their label. I'll let you take the.
Thank you very much for your point. And I understand how difficult it is for people who know the history of the FBI. God knows I was hassled by them. Who know the history of the CIA and its murderous behaviors in the world, including overthrowing the government of Iran and producing the situation we have now, and the wars in the Middle East. I understand that. But ironically, at this point, the progressive forces are virtually unable to mount a very effective attack right now. We therefore must turn toward the center, and the center is always the establishment, and the establishment in this country at this time still is reflected in the CIA and the FBI. And therefore, I say, in this situation, let's prosecute, not persecute, let's prosecute these crooks in the White House, and let's turn our attention to making sure that we don't have a bad Supreme Court and making sure that we have a fair and free electoral process, none of which is happening under Republican rule. Anyway, let's hear from some other people. 231-8187. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, Joe. I'm usually pretty brief, but I'm going to try. Why am I getting this big echo?
I don't know.
Well, okay. I'll try to talk through it.
Go ahead.
But I'm
usually we're not having brief, it on. But we're not hearing it on this end. So go ahead.
Okay. I've been talking. I grew up in Portland, graduated from Benson Tech, played in the Epics, you know. Uh-huh. I live up here in Longview now, and I talk with my neighbors and stuff. I turned off my TV on November 20th when Trump got inaugurated. Don't watch it. The only reason it's even in the house is so the wife can watch her shows and stuff. I go out in the garage, and my neighbors, they come and tell me things that they think are the truth, that are really honest. And I try to explain to them that they're being interjected. True news is being interjected with little bits and bits of false information mixed with the truth.
That's true.
And these people that are even left, right, or whatever, they come up with this stuff, and then I ask them, Is that something that you know for sure? Is that something that you've vetted in any way? Or is it just something you've heard on the media? And then they get upset and go away.
Well, I'm sorry they go away, but yeah, okay.
I have one other point.
Go ahead.
I'm 70 years old, so I go in for medical treatments once in a while. And I was talking with one of the ladies that works with me, and she kind of blames it on our generation for letting things get like this. And she just came back from a vacation to Canada. I think she's getting ready to move up there.
It's a temptation.
But, yeah, I know, the stability. But that was my point. I don't, the news has gotten so bad, and it's like you said, or like the gentleman just said, people are sophisticated, but, you know, maybe a few of us are paying attention. But the great masses are just buying this stuff and don't have a clue. And it's like you say, this is a true emergency. This is no halfway emergency. We're on the verge of losing the whole darn thing.
Well, I don't want to be an exaggerating or a hysterical person, but I kind of agree with you.
You're not. You are not. If you are 70 years old or of our generation and saw the world we lived in when we graduated, when I graduated from Benson in 1966, different world, totally. And this is just really, I don't know, I'm scared to death. I was scared when I first called you when Trump got inaugurated. And, you know, I'll let you go on to someone
else. Well, let me just say this, man. Let me just say this, one 70-year-old to another. Don't be scared. Be brave. Organize. Build community among people your own age and people younger than yourself. Make sure the struggle is continued and fought well and wisely and fairly. Make sure everybody you know or people you know the knowing of anywhere out there, make sure they vote. Don't tell them how to vote. Just tell them to get on the line, get on the ballot, do it, vote.
Exactly. And actually, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going out and I'm talking to people and agree, disagree, whatever. I just tell them it doesn't matter when you're military, civilian, just vote.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you vote. Get those numbers out there. If we had 80% turnout, these guys would run away screaming.
Well, my line on this is don't mourn for the situation. Organize to defeat it. All right, I must take some other calls. 231-8187. Pear, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Well, you know, I mean, you used to talk a lot about friendly fascism. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was the good old days.
Well, I don't know. I still got that book. The print is so small I can barely read it. But anyway, there's a lot to be said for that that book.
Okay. It makes some good points. You're right.
You know, and I think right now we got a system where you have, you know, the sort of two-party duopoly.
Yes.
And inevitably leads to a greater evil. It's based on a greater evil idea. You vote for the lesser evil against the greater evil. And for some reason, the greater evil has gotten worse and worse and worse. And now we have sort of this supreme boogeyman, Donald Trump, you know, and makes all these other lesser boogeymen look pretty good. You know, it's I don't know. I understand your point, you know, but it seems to me there are other possibilities too. And I think in my opinion, we're going to have some kind of economic collapse, and we're going to have a kind of a national unity government that'll get rid of the horrible boogeymen. And they will rule through a kind of a friendly fascism.
Well, that's possible. That's possible.
You know, that's my theory. And I think also that, you know, you have the war party, which you notice that, you know, this horrible military budget passed. We're mm-hmm. getting up to $1 trillion a year for military spending. And it passed with a lot of support from the Democrats. I mean, I know Merkley voted against it. Good for him. I'm not sure about Wyden, but it passed overwhelmingly. And we had the wars that continue. We've been fighting wars ever since I was a little kid, which has been a long, long time ago, you know. And I think, you know, I understand your position, but I think we got the Democrats, you know, they're the lesser boogeymen, and they've got the whole system kind of pretty well tied up. You know, they would do gerrymandering and, you know, control of the media and everything else, the war party always seems to come out ahead.
Well, look, that's true. Both parties are a part of an establishment that is based on an economy built around war and aggression. That's all true. But the difference between the two parties is still significant in this situation. And that's why I'm saying it doesn't, if there was a Social Democratic Party of some significance, I'd say vote for it. There isn't. Right now, the big challenge is to get rid of the criminal element that is dominating American politics. And we can do that. We can make that change happen. And Trump is the absolute sine qua non of criminality. It's time to put that baby to bed.
Well, I think my guess is that he's not going to serve out his term.
If they impeach him, then we'll have Pence, the Christian fundamentalist who can't be alone with any other woman because apparently he'll do something nasty with her.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I understand your position, but it's not the only one. And
No, of course not. That's why we have the talk radio, man.
Well, anyway, okay. You talked about social democrats. In Europe, the socialist party, the labor parties have been, they fail. That's why Europe is turning right wing.
Well, that's a whole other serious topic. I don't want to get into it today. I want to focus on America. But you may have a point there.
You know, I mean, the Blair is very much like the Clinton wing of the Democrats. You know, he's got that same, he's selling the same kind of soft soap, and he's just, you know, he went along with Bush to get us into war in Iraq, and the Blairites have failed in England, and then now Corbyn is trying to take the Labour Party back to the left, and he's being hounded by not only by the Conservatives but also by his fellow Labour Party people.
Look,
what happened to the Social Democrats, the Socialist parties? In other countries, they've fallen down.
They have lost popularity in most countries because of the terrible fear of the other. But listen, Prayer, I want to give some other folks a chance.
Okay, carry on.
All right, thank you for the call. And I want to emphasize where I'm coming from, and I also want to come back to Chief Outlaw. I don't want to let her off the hook. We invited her on the station. We repeated the invitation many times from our management. She has not responded. I assume her people are keeping her informed. I assume she knows who we are, and maybe that's why she's not responding. She chose to go on Lars Larson, the right-wing talk show host show, rather than anything of ours. It's not equal opportunity in any sense. And she essentially delivered an attack on the alternate right, alternate left. The fact of the matter is that this is a very great disappointment. Maybe I should have been more cynical by the fact that she was, in fact, out of Oakland, a police department notoriously violent and notoriously a victimizer of black people. In fact, the Black Panther Party developed out of that victimization in Oakland. All right, I want to hear from you, 231-8187. Edie, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd like you to get everyone you can to get out your pen and paper or whatever and write down the following information.
Okay.
The Portland Police Bureau is having a community event Thursday, September 6th, 4 p.m. at Matt Dishman Community Center for the public to testify and to hear, prioritizing the Bureau's goals and objectives, their budget for the next 5 years, outlining how the Bureau will meet its strategic goals and objectives, providing metrics to assess the Bureau's performance, ensuring communication and progress to all stakeholders. And prevening access. Now, write down the date. Thursday, September 6th, 4 p.m., Matt Dishman Center. That is 77 Northeast Knott. You can take bus 6 and walk 2 blocks or 1.5 blocks west from MLK, or take bus 24, get off at Emmanuel Hospital, and walk a few blocks east. I want you to show up if it's care not cop signs, you know, how you cannot really have anything bigger than 8.5 by 11 or your hat or your t-shirt. What I sometimes do is handwrite or type out an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper notice that had really big print that they can read, and I safety pin it to the front of my shirt so they can, I mean, I may not have it when I go through security, but then I open it up so that they can see my stance. Or color coordinated, I don't know if people are going to be wearing pink to say care not cops or not, but show up, put it on your social media, email it to everybody Thursday, September 6th, 4 p.m. And I want us to insist.
And that's at the Matt Dishman Center, right?
The Matt Dishman Community Center.
Right.
77 Northeast Knott. Show up. I'd like you to also provide, if you can, written testimony. I want you to call his phone number if you or your friends need translators. It is 503-823-0369. Again, 503-823-0369. American Sign Language, Spanish, Russian, Vietnamese, or whatever translations that you need to have. And have written testimony if you can. And say that this is what you want as a priorities. The largest amount of money of the Portland police or the Portland city budget is for police above the table, and then they have more and more money that's always taken out from our other services to give to these terrorists because of all their people they kill or they injure or the property destroy, the human rights that they violate. So, and you show up this Wednesday.
Wednesday? August, you mean Thursday?
No, also show up this Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
August 29th, 9:30 a.m. at Portland City Council. And you can testify on ordinance about the Portland Police Bureau taking on the biometrics facial recognition software that they're having. They have it on their vehicles, on their bodies, et cetera, so that not only at protests are they knowing who we are to chill and to silence democracy, but anywhere they go. This is on the city council meeting agenda for Wednesday the 26th, starting at 9:30. It's under the Bureau of Police, item 918, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Oregon State Police to provide us with their biometric stuff, $102,480. And also item 919 about working with PSU with their police.
You mean the PSU police that shot down that guy?
Yes.
Okay.
$50,000 for their grant program of Portland Police with PSU. Okay, so you've got two items this Wednesday. I want you to show up or get everyone else you can. Meanwhile, leverage the mayor and the city council members to have their damn city council meetings open to the public for more than 60 seconds testimony on their topic, but it should be open for us to be able to say more like town hall. And it should be when people can show up after work, after school, with childcare, where there's public transit and public free parking. So right now it's not accessible, but I want you to show up Wednesday. That's tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. at City Council. Do not bring anything bigger than 8.5 by 11. You can have a piece of paper. You're not to clap or yell. You'll be kicked out, or the City Council meeting will be shut down. So you just have your thumbs up, thumbs down if you're happy or unhappy with something.
Okay.
Give some written testimony. So it's Wednesday the 29th and Thursday, September 6th.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. All right, 231-8187. Who do we got? John. Whoop. Okay, who do we go to next?
great summary lead-in on this topic of fighting fascism. And, hey, that's our number one goal is...
Is this Dougie?
To not let fascism progress. And the best way to do that is vote. Come on, people. Don't we learn from what happened in this 1968, as Amy Goodman brought up today, I think it's 40th anniversary. And we've got
50th, but who's counting? Go ahead.
50. I'm sorry, Joe. Hey, we gotta stop fascism, and the best way to do that is vote. And it's a winner-take-all system. There ain't no second place. And that's what happened in this last election, is many of us purists, of course, voted for somebody else other than Hillary Clinton. And now what do we got? The premier fascist of the world. And so vote, and vote Democratic, because that's all we got. Bernie Sanders has helped out pushing the Democratic Party to the left, the progressive left. They've got rid of the superdelegates, is what put Hillary in and stopped Bernie. And that's history now. Come on, let's vote. Register now. It's easy to vote. They mail the ballot out to you.
Well, I want to add that people should be calling their family, their relatives, their friends, their neighbors, and strangers throughout the United States saying vote. But I want to thank you for the call. Okay, who do we got next? Dougie. Dougie,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to second that emotion that you delivered, Joe. Now is extremely critical time in this country. We have to resist fascism at all costs. We got to go to the ballot coming up here in less than 80 days. I mean, we're dealing with the climate crisis. That report that came out last week, we have 10 to 20 years before we could potentially start hitting irreversible tipping points where we could have we could be living in a 7 to 9 degree warmer Fahrenheit world. We won't have enough food to feed all the billions of people on this planet. It'll completely create total chaos, and we're talking up to eventually 200 feet of water. So basically, civilization could be destroyed. We only have a short amount of time, and we got this idiot in the White House and the Republican Party that has sold themselves out to ExxonMobil and the Koch brothers. We're dealing with the worst inequality that we've dealt with since the 1920s. We have more people incarcerated than any place in the world, 2.5 million people locked up in jails and prisons in America, 70 to 100 million people in America now living with criminal records. We're the only industrialized nation that doesn't have full access to health care. We got students who are in debt. We need to stand up, you know, like your previous caller said, the delegate situation has changed within the Democratic Party so we can have more progressives and demand policies and candidates in the future. So I just want to say I second your emotion. This is a very critical time. And we, when you have only 45% of people going to the polls, I know we're dealing with gerrymandering, we're dealing with voter suppression and voter ID laws and voter purges across the country. But just like Fannie Lou Hamer and all the civil rights icons who struggled and died, were incarcerated. You know, you push through voter suppression with massive voter registration and massive voter participation. So let's head to the polls. Thanks for your, I agree with your message, Joe, is right on. And this is a very, very critical time. It's a life or death moment for our children and our children's future. So
okay,
that's all.
Okay,
I have
thank
say.
You. Thank you for the call. I'm going to go to Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for your passion, for your truth telling, and for keeping us from a bright-sided danger and also total disillusionment.
Well, I kind of favor, even though the Catholic Church has betrayed its pedophilia now, I like the position of the Catholic worker movement, Dorothy Day and so on, saying you must not be guilty of the sin of despair. So I ain't going to do that, and I don't think anyone else should. I think we all should fight till we can't, and that's where I'm at.
Back in the 60s, we were insisting that the bomb changed everything except the way we think, mm-hmm. that security should change. Our thinking about health and strength and power, security, success, all of this should change. I uploaded an article yesterday on Portland Indie Media titled "Promote Public Housing."
Right, that's an important thing which we don't have, of course.
Yes, and of course, creating public housing would create a happier and a more secure society. I wanted to mention that Michael Hudson, a radical economist, said that Trump was acting out the uncle sucker myth, that we have been exploited by all countries. We have been carelessly exploited by all countries.
Well, you know, I want to say something about that. I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. Here's the deal. In fact, Trump is, as far as I can tell, an ally of the oligarchs of Russia. Therefore, he is against what was the assumptions of the Cold War. There's an irony in that. And in that irony, he is ignoring the relationships that created NATO and created the European Union and so on. He is, from my point of view, an absolute traitor. Anyway, go ahead.
My perspective, someone wrote in on Facebook, Russians in your cornflakes, which is very hilarious.
Well, I think there's sugar in your cornflakes. But anyway, go ahead.
That the Republicans created this threat and therefore have done nothing on housing, education, health care, and global warming for 2 years. I think there might be some truth in that. You know, Hitler went on and on about international Jewry exterminating Germany. He went on and on about scapegoating and fear-mongering.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that one of Trump's friends would help him understand Hitler.
Trump, listen, here's something I heard in the news some months ago from his wife, I believe it was, that he kept Mein Kampf, Hitler's notorious book, at his bedside. And he imitates Mussolini in his moves and gestures. I think the guy is more than a creep. I think he's a real honest-to-God fascist.
Believe it or not, on the last Father's Day, he went after Hillary in an unscrupulous way and said that if she can't keep her marriage together, how can she keep the country together?
Well, you know, I'm not looking at the last election much at all. I'm looking at the future and at the present. And I really, really think that we are in jeopardy of losing democracy in the society. And it's not even a question of left or right anymore. It's a question of just fundamental conservative, and I have to say that with a small c, American democracy. We need to preserve that first before we make major changes, because things are going to the right really fast all over the world, and particularly in the United States.
Well, I'll be a happy camper when the landslide happens in November.
Okay.
As a delusional person, that's my hope, that they have to get rid of the scoundrels.
Well, I think we always should throw the scoundrels out.
He is attacking the poor, seniors, students, and children.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Francis. Francis, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have been amazed at the ironies in that right now. I'm with your first caller. The entities that have been used to against the people that he just spoke of, the women, the children, the elderly, are now being exposed in an ironic sort of way. This man that is the president right now is being attacked, apparently, by those organizations that have been used for years to suppress people.
Well, that is an irony, and it's true.
Yes, and I feel that he is pretty much exposing all of the corruption that has been going on for years and years and years in our country. And what we're going to do about it is the question. He's lifted up the rug, and all the uglies are there to see. And these are uglies that he did not create. They have existed for a long time. And what we're going to do about it is the question. And I agree with you that we need to vote. And I just have a little notion here I'm going to put out in the universe, that in all, which people would say that I'm very naive and Pollyannish, but if we do, if the Democrats can take over the Congress in the next election, and we get a Speaker of the House such as Barbara Lee, who is the representative from Oakland, who is the only person that voted against the war powers that allowed us to go into Iraq, the only person in Congress who did, who totally understands how all this is working. If she became Speaker of the House, and then Trump was impeached, and the Vice President was impeached because he's a co-conspirator, then our President would be Barbara Lee.
Okay.
Now that means we all have to vote.
Okay. Hey, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you take care.
I think our next caller is Shi Chung. Is that right?
Yes, it's Shi Chung.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you for the show and for this conversation. What is your recommendations for the people who are not eligible to vote yet?
Well,
like the minors or the foreigners who live in the U.S.?
That's a very good question, and the answer has to be two things. First of all, I'm sort of ignorant about what is allowable for a person who's a non-citizen. So I'm not a lawyer. I can't speak to that question. And I know that this government is very mean to persons who are not citizens. That's number one. Number two, I think one can safely carry out the basic freedoms that are guaranteed in the Constitution, all of them except voting. And I would advise people to be heard, to take a chance. But I have to admit, under this present government, it is risky. It has to be risky for a person who is a non-citizen who may face deportation to speak out. So I can't really answer that with any authority. I can only say what you have to do is follow your conscience. And remember that this is a very important crisis in American history. In fact, important crisis in the world's history. And that's all I can do morally, you know?
Oh, okay. And the other thing that you missed is what could the minors, the U.S. citizens that who cannot vote yet?
I'm sorry, say that again. Can you repeat that?
The students, like the young people who can't vote yet.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, they can demonstrate. Yeah. They can make a joyful noise, as we used to say, a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, they can raise their voices. They're still citizens, even though they can't vote. Also, anyone who talks to anyone who is a citizen should tell them to vote. Don't tell them how to vote, because anybody who's going to vote probably will vote right.
Okay.
That's my advice. And I wish you luck,
sir.
Take care. All right, this is Charlotte, and I want to remind people it's 231-8187. Charlotte, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to support your basic position that you started with, and I wanted to do it from the point of view of my life experience and knowledge base. I was born in Berlin in 1939, so I and my family were very impacted by the whole Nazi era, by the wars of fascism. And I wanted to understand, as I grew up, what fascism was, what that was, and how it happened, so I could, with my adult life, try to act in a conscious and ethical way, pro-democratic and system rather than an authoritarian system or a fascist system. And I particularly want to support your main point that you said in the beginning, is that it's fascism is actually a structural issue in the society. It's a political economic system where you said capitalism. I will be more specific and say the corporate interests, the very rich interests in the country, are allied with the state to control the population and make all the decisions. And one of the things that happened when Hitler first came into power is he totally was actually a minority candidate in the elections in terms of his power. And one of the things, but he ended up with the support of the conservatives and reactionaries who thought they could control him for their own purposes. And all the elements of the middle and the left were in chaos and were fighting each other, and we're not seeing this.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time. I think your points are very valid, and I think it's very important to understand that it is the power of monopoly capital and the power of a conservative bias, particularly a power of the people who are afraid of minorities, that can bring about fascism in this society, even if it's not a majority position. And I thank you for your call, and stay tuned. Next week, Abe will be back, and we'll come at you with some more truth, and we'll hopefully solve all the world's problems. The Sermon on the Mount, which I don't pretend to understand at all. It's coming from the silence on the dock of the bay. The brave, the bold, the battered heart of Chevrolet. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Tune in on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. to celebrate the Native programmers and the Native community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Jack Malmstrom of Rose City Native Radio will host this special.